We are going to heaven. The master again took me into a huge tunnel. Again, unlike most tunnels, it was bright and shiny. I soon realized this was the same tunnel he had taken me through the first time. I reasoned this must be the tunnel that people who have near-death experiences frequently describe as the passageway from this life to the next. In most such cases of out-of-the-body experiences, people report that they are hurled into a long, dark tunnel at a rapid pace. At the far end of the tunnel, they can see the glorious brightness of heaven. This, I thought, must be the doorway to the indescribably wonderful kingdom of heaven. Now my Lord and Savior was taking me there again. We walked by the beautiful, crystal-clear river once more, and then we returned to the beach. Jesus then said,
"We're going to heaven."
My heart leaped into my throat as my soul was flooded with excited anticipation over the realization that I was going to heaven. I was going home, and Jesus was giving me a personal tour of the afterlife so I could write about it and let others know. It was so thrilling to be chosen for such an honor, and I could hardly contain the joy that overwhelmed me. No sooner had Jesus announced our destination than I began to fly. I had flown in airplanes before, and those flights were always exciting and exhilarating. But this time, my body was taking flight like a bird. I remembered the passage from Isaiah, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Isaiah 40:31. I had always interpreted that verse from a spiritual perspective, but now it had become a living reality. I was flying and soaring like an eagle, and I was not afraid because I knew Jesus was with me. The experience of flight did not last long, however. It seemed like only a second. Soon we touched down on a narrow winding road that was beautifully bordered by tall trees and lush green grass. Just ahead, I could see a huge gate that was set in a white fence. As we approached the gate, I noticed that the road on the other side of the fence was all white, and on both sides of the lane, gorgeous flowers of every type and hue displayed their varied colors and tender blossoms. I had never seen such beauty before, and another verse came to mind. "So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Matthew 6:28-33. Then I began to understand more clearly why God was permitting me to visit his kingdom. I realized at that moment that if mortals on earth could see what I was seeing, they would never worry again. I knew I had to tell everyone I met about my experiences so that they, too, would never need to worry again. God indeed does take care of everything in our lives. God is working his purposes out. His love for his children is unrelenting. His word is true. Now the burning desire of my heart is to help people to understand, to see, to believe the truth. My experiences have taught me that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. See Romans 8:28.